Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plain Stalkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my amazing, stupendous, and all-around greatest guy co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how you doing tonight, my friend?
You're going to run out of superlatives one of these days, I'm just telling you.
I'm never going to run out of superlatives. I'm a living dinosaurus.
Okay.
I'm the smartest man alive. I never run out of superlatives, sir.
Okay. Just thought I'd throw that warning out there.
No, man. I'm going to come up with something every week, man. And I don't think about it before I sit down. It's literally my like, you know, little thing I do to kind of, you know, keep myself in check. It's like an old improv game or something. I don't know. I'm an old school. But you know what time it is, though?
It's
definitely time for
Untap a Keep and Draw.
And tonight, you'll be glad to know, sir, that I am not drinking beer. We are not untapping beer. I'm going to be untapping a Coke Zero.
I was going to say, did you go straight to the hard liquor? But I guess not.
No, Coke Zero.
Okay.
Into
a Solo Cup?
Into a red Solo Cup with Jack Daniels. So we're just going to bypass
there
the...
There it is.
We're just going to bypass the beer this evening, mostly because I didn't have any cold. So... I drank my good beer last night for the other podcast. So this is, Plane Stalkers. We're on Untap right now. I want to go over what we're going to be talking about tonight. We are going to be definitely going over, obviously, the big news today. The BNR came out, banned and restricted list.
They were busy.
There was cards unbanned. There were cards banned in Modern. We're going to kind of go off a little bit from the Standard only because, I mean, some of the stuff they talked in Modern was just, it's too good to not talk about. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about, there was a DQ at GP Vegas. We're also going to talk about Friday Night Magic with Mr. Perez, who was there, and I was not because my kid went to school. Combat tonight is we want to actually go over as the last of the Planescations has happened. We want to kind of, I think we want to just go over, what is it worth it? What was it? What did we like the one before it when we were on Mortal Spark, or how was this? And then finally in main two, we're going to talk about more in depth about the Landfall event. And we're going to talk about what we'd want to see in the future. Plus we do have a couple of emails, like two or three actually.
Really? Awesome.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe you should check the box once in a while, sir. So,
okay.
It's not. Don't get me wrong. I don't think we have a podcast review yet. I mean, there's still time, people. You want it read? Go to iTunes right now and 5-star it, man. Don't screw around.
Yes, please.
But let's go ahead and get right into the biggest and baddest and funnest day of the year.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So this is where we're going to kind of, you know, really what we want to get into tonight. There was this morning a big announcement. The BNR that we were expecting, and I mean, they said it was going to happen today on the day that it normally does, so came through. And there was a little bit of a surprise as far as Modern goes. I mean, everybody knew Hogak was going to get nailed.
Hogak was dead Necropolis walking, although I guess he already was a dead Necropolis walking, so I don't know how that works.
Yeah, there was no way Hogak was surviving.
Hogan.
Yeah, he's Hogan. Just like my ex-girlfriend. She's a Hogan, too. Never mind. Wow. Anyway, I won't say which one, though, and that's a lot of people, so they can't get upset because they don't know which one it was.
Unless they all get upset.
Listen, you can get girls if you're fat, if you're charming, which I am, let's face it. So, but anyway, moving on, while I still have a marriage, so Hogak got banned today, and everybody knew that was coming, and I mean, in their little, you know, email today, they basically said, what the hell did you expect? The big shocker was they also nerfed graveyards. Like, they went into a very long explanation about Graveyard. They're seeing far too much Graveyard hate. And everybody has kind of said the same thing, that the Graveyard is really now, in Modern, another library.
Yeah.
And they are sprinkling... This is why we're talking about it on this show. They have been sprinkling that into Standard for some time. So that idea of the Graveyard just being another resource, they went ahead and banned Faithless Looting.
Which I think is a good thing.
It's not fair.
Well, I mean, and the whole thing with Hogak too. I mean, yeah, foregone conclusion, but it did go out with a hell of a bang by winning GP Vegas and putting 6 decks in the top 8.
Yeah, it was. It's ridiculous. The deck was way OP, more so than Mono Red Phoenix. The killing of Faithless Looting, which is basically killing Mono Red, is killing not Mono Red, but is it Phoenix and Modern? That deck is dead. Yes, you can chart a course. Yes, you can do any number of 2 drops that lets you dump a card into the graveyard and draw a card, but it's a 2 drop.
This one and. Well, this ban was surprising in the fact that there were a lot of players who felt that Wizards' opinion of Faithless Looting in Modern was the same as their opinion of Brainstorm in Legacy, whereas they say, you know, it's a necessary tool of the format, it's not something that's going to ever really go away, you're just going to have to deal with it, and then lo and behold, they're like, no, well, we don't like it, bye.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really kind of, it's a bit of a piss-me-off, I'm not going to lie, that, you know, I'm trying to think the Tron card that should be banned, too.
Ancient Stirrings?
Yeah, Ancient Stirrings. Like, if you're going to ban Faithless Looting and you leave Ancient Stirrings, you're basically saying Tron is now going to be the best deck again, which is what you're going to see. Mark my words, the meta is going to shift, and I'm kind of probably answering the question that we got today. John Hill actually sent us in a question, and it's an Ask Will.
Wow.
Yeah, and he said, I know this is a standard cast and don't expect a very detailed look into the modern metagame with this, but how do you feel about the Faithless Looting ban? Last I tuned in, you were still working with the Phoenix in Modern. Has that turned you off to the format in any way? I always found it discouraging to be on a deck, especially ones that get costly and then get hit with a ban. Yeah, I don't disagree. Now, Faithless Looting is not just a modern, you know, Izzet Phoenix card. That card, they are right. If you are playing red, you played Faithless Looting. No matter what deck you were in, you had 4 Faithless Looting in
it. It's a 1-mana draw 2 spell. Why wouldn't you play it?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And with Flashback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just... It was way of a great card. Just like Ancient Stirrings. I mean, I think Ancient Stirrings will be... They're like, well, we need something to ban in October. I mean, it just... Yeah. They really did, though. So I'm a little discouraged by that. I mean, I've been off Mono Phoenix, or I've been off Izzet Phoenix for a little bit. I haven't really played a lot of Modern. You know, I'll be honest with you guys, for the wedding, I needed a little bit of cash, and so I went and sold my deck. A lot of the pieces of that deck, I kept Scalding Tarns, and that was it. Everything else I sold, and because I got, like, you know, a lot of money for it.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
You need money for the wedding. What are you going to do?
Nothing wrong with that.
No, and I knew I could rebuild it. Now I won't rebuild it. I'm going to start building Tron. But... you know, I think 5 Color Humans is going to come back too. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see 5 Color Humans show back up, especially with the unbanning of what did they unban?
The unbanned Stoneforge Mystic.
Yeah,
which so, I think is that was one of those things where, you know what, it's a very powerful card. I don't think it deserved to be banned as long as it did. If they're in the mood to unban more stuff, they could unban Splinter Twin. I don't think anybody'd be too upset about that.
No. Stoneforge Mystic, for those who don't know, enters the battlefield. You may search your library for an equipment card, reveal it, put it into your hand, and shuffle your library. That's kind of nice.
You know, turn 3 Batterskull is pretty good, you know, yeah. So.
But the big thing is, you know, for a 1 and a white, you put the equipment card from your hand onto the battlefield. It's like, oh, what? What? I have a hammer for 10? Yeah, I'm going to pay 2.
Yeah.
And I mean, that went way up already. TCG players got it going for about 65.
I'm not surprised. Because it hasn't been reprinted either.
No, so it's gonna be a real card. But I think Tron's it. Tron's gonna be the big deck.
And you're talking Eldrazi Tron?
Yeah. No, I'm talking green.
Mono green Tron. Okay.
Oh yeah. Because that deck's ridiculous. It was rolling before Izzet Phoenix showed up. And I think it's gonna come back.
Yeah.
Because it was the most. Here's the thing, folks. I mean, again, we're a standard podcast, but we're kind of dabbling in modern. The thing about modern is that it is really about consistency. It's not just power. I mean, yes, Hogak was, you get a turn 2, you know, monster out. Yeah, okay. Well, obviously, you're going to play that. But for the most part, when the metagame in modern is good, it's all about consistency, and Tron is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, I think you're going to see Tron come back up. Burn got hit. Everything in the top four of Modern, according to MTG Goldfish, got hit with Faithless Looting.
Yeah, the format will survive. I mean, Modern is such a huge card pool. Just give it some time. They'll find something else to break.
Yeah. I think you're going to see, like I said, five color humans in Tron. But now to pivot it back to Standard, the other thing that came out today was they actually did an unbanning. We have had one card ban, only one card ban in Standard for the last, I want to say, over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because they rotated, because of rotation, they rotated out all the energy. When they did the energy bannings back in, I want to say February of 17 or February 18, they did the energy bannings and they took out, you know, they nailed four cards. They did Ramunap Ruins, Aether, what the hell was her name there? Attune with Aether. Mm-hmm. They did
Rogue Refiner.
And then it's almost like they felt like they had to pick a red, so they put in Rampaging Ferocidon. Rampaging Ferocidon, for those who don't know, it is a three drop, so it's one red, two colorless. Menace. Players cannot gain life. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, Rampaging Ferocidon deals one damage to that creature's controller.
And it's a 3/3.
Yep. The reason they said it was banned was because they wanted to see more tokens. With Ixalan, it was heavy on tribal. So you had a lot of vampire. Vampire was a deck. Merfolk was a deck.
Well, there was also that one token, that Abzan Tokens was a thing, too.
Abzan Tokens was really ridiculous, actually. So they got all these things in, and basically Rampaging Ferocidon was shutting these decks down, really. And red at that point was already overpowered to an extreme degree at that point.
Ramunap was nuts.
Yeah. So I get why they did it, because they nerfed two energy cards in that banning, they nerfed two mono red. And I guess I understand it. But what's getting me is the timing of this. I'm all for it. I mean, Rampaging Ferocidon, that's a good card to unban in this modern or in the meta. The two big decks right now is obviously Scapeshift and Orzhov Vampires.
Yeah.
It just is. You know, Sorin's ridiculously stupid in that deck, along with the Knight of the Ebon Legion. Or is it Ebon Legion?
Ebon Legion.
Ebon Legion. So, I mean, those cards are just stupid. And then you throw Sanctum Seeker in there and shit gets real. Having Rampaging Ferocidon in there, well, you're going to shut some things down. Really, they exist on the life gain. Yeah, go ahead. Hit me with the vampire deck. Hit me all you want. Turn four, here's my, Sanctum Seeker. And, oh, look, I'm swinging at you now for three vampires. I gained three life. You already lost three. And, oh, wait, I'm also going to tutor in another Sanctum Seeker with my -3 on Sorin. So, actually, I have two. So I gained six life. You lost six, and I still haven't done damage yet. Like, that card, that deck's great. And Scapeshift, it's obvious. You know, I don't think you're going to see as many 20, you know, end step, you know, 22 zombies coming out if you're going to take 22 damage when they come in.
Well, I mean, if you're if you're playing Scapeshift, you're not going to be stupid enough to do that with a Ferocidon on the board.
Right.
I mean, and really, honestly, what's going to end up happening? I mean, yeah, like we were saying before we came on the air here, Ferocidon's a great tool for decks that play red to fight vampires and to fight Scapeshift. The problem is right now, there's really only one deck that plays red, maybe two. There's Jund Dinosaurs and there's Mono Red, and
right.
I mean, they kind of already had Tibalt, so Tibalt's going to get replaced by Ferocidon. But all the Scapeshift player has to do is, you know, -3 on Teferi, bounce your Ferocidon, and then Scapeshift.
True.
You know, or like I was doing today on the event, you know, you have a Teferi on 3, you spend the last 3 to bounce whatever creature they have, play another Teferi, plus it, and then if they go to cast Ferocidon, you just respond with Scapeshift, and there's your 30-some-odd zombies. You didn't take any damage.
Right. Well, also, I think, I think Rampaging Ferocidon will help Boros Feather.
Probably, yeah. It's, I mean, it's a great 3-drop. Don't get me wrong. It's an awesome 3-drop.
It should be. You should have 4 of it in any red deck in standard right now. 4. But here's the thing that gets me about this. Yeah, okay, you unbanned it. Sure. Why? There's 4 weeks. Literally 4 weeks until pre-release of Throne of Eldraine and Rotation.
I don't know. Well, Rotation's like, what, 6 weeks away?
Maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah, because Throne of Eldraine gets released at the beginning of October.
Right. Well, we're at the end of August. Like, 31st is Friday.
Yeah.
Like, I think 4 weeks from Friday is pre-release.
Yeah, so it's five weeks left. We have 5 weeks left.
Yeah, and it's... I mean, so I guess my point is...
And no major
events. Why go... Huh?
No major standard events either between now and Rotation.
Yeah, so there's almost no reason... Honestly, the only thing I could think of, and this is, we talked about this in a text message. I mean, I gotta wonder now if they're actually gonna reprint it. I gotta wonder if they're gonna throw it in Throne of Eldraine as the quote unquote big bad wolf. Maybe
I don't think so.
It's like what they did with, you know, they unbanned Jace right before they put him in the Modern Master set.
Yeah, but it's different here because with Standard and Rotation and things like that, it's a dinosaur, and there's not gonna be any dinosaur support after Rotation happens because Ixalan's going away.
Yeah, and but I'm not this, so sure.
This
I'm
block,
not so sure.
Well, this block's not going to have dinosaur support. It's Fairy Tales. There's no dinosaurs in Fairy Tales.
Who says?
Says, you know, King Arthur and Grimm. I think what they did. I think the reason that they unbanned it was to possibly set the table for the new historic format. What they might do is they might share ban lists for a while.
Well, no, because they already said it. I mean, part of this whole banning was, and this is really important to know, before you go on Arena and get 4 of these cards, which are no good to you in 6 weeks, you know, realize that you cannot play at BO1. You have to use it in BO3.
But the historic format's going to be best of 3.
I know, but it's still, I don't, they still could have unbanned it there without a problem. They could have said, like, it's you know, historic is different than standard. It doesn't have the same ban list.
Yeah, well, we don't really know what if that what their plan is going to be, and the reason they kept it banned in best of one is because mono red in best of one is actually still one of the best decks.
It really is. Eh?
But in best of three is where it struggles. So it makes sense to keep it banned there. It is a little odd and surprising to see it unbanned. I'm certainly not complaining about it because
me either. I've got two already.
A standard without a banned list is a good standard.
Right. And that's just it. Maybe, I mean, even if they're just saying we just didn't want to have another card, it was, you know, I would have rather if they were just like, you know what, it bothered us because we should have done this 6 months ago after, we should have done this 11 months ago when Mono Red, you know, Hazoret rotated out.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't anybody who didn't think, I mean, unless you're talking Celestia tokens. I mean, Celestia tokens was a real deck. White Weenie is a real deck.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just it. This does kind of hit all of the really, really decent decks in a very, very profound way. So, I mean, I love it. I've got 2 of them for some reason. I thought I had 4, but I apparently only have 2. I can only find 2.
Well, I mean, their price will go up, but it won't go up that much. It was like a 75-cent rare, so.
Yeah. Unless they're sitting in my modern. They might be in my modern car. I really did think I had 4 of them. Because, I mean, I will. I'll throw them in my mono red just for... you know, giggles. I mean, I'm not going to play Mono Red next time I'm at Friday Night Magic. I still love vampires. But, and I mean,
I'm still on Scape Shift.
Yeah, so, like, you know, and let's, you know, but that was the BNR today. It was it's a good thing. I overall, it's a net win for everybody, I think. You know, banned and restricted, don't get me wrong, banned and restricted lists.
Well, actually, you know what the biggest surprise for me about the whole announcement was, the changes they made to Vintage, because they never do anything in Vintage.
Yeah, and I'm not talking too terribly much about that because
nobody plays
there ain't
Vintage.
None of us playing Vintage.
I no,
mean,
but it's interesting
podcast,
to see because it's a bunch of new cards that they restricted, and for a card to hit that level where you have to restrict it in Vintage, in that format, it's so hard to make an impact. And if you've made a big enough impact,
oh, Karn
to be restricted,
was ridiculous. Everybody,
well, Karn, Mystic
ridiculous.
Forge. I mean, Mystic Forge is a jank rare. Everyone else except Vintage, they unrestricted Fast Bond, which is kind of crazy. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Vintage is kind of like I can never afford to play it, so I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, like, you could actually play it on Magic Online fairly inexpensively. Yeah.
So I guess my question is, to bring this back to standard, what is the impact, you think, of Rampaging. What do you think Rampaging Ferocidon, this unbanning, is going to do? Anything?
It'll make some ripples. It's not going to be I don't think it's going to be a huge deal. Like I said, I think Ferocidon is going to be sideboard material for the most part. You might see it main decked in Jund Dinosaurs, or like you said, in Feather. That was a good point. Because, I mean, it's a great 3-drop. If you're not going to, you know, you can't play Chain Whirler because it's too heavy on red. This is a nice 3-3 menace for 3. It's got some nice upside, you know, and if you can protect it, it's going to be kind of hard to kill it, and it can win some games for sure.
Actually, I'm not sure you'd want to put it in Boros because you do have some cards that gain you life. And don't forget, this doesn't shut off your opponents can't gain life. Mm-hmm. Players cannot gain life.
Well, Boros Feather wants to be an aggressive deck. It doesn't really care too much about its life total. It kind of only gained life to keep its head above water. So right. If it decides to go all in, that's where the Ferocidon would really shine.
Yeah. And, I mean, it is really good against Scapeshift. It's going to be really good against Scapeshift and Vampires. I mean,
they're going to have to certainly be aware of it and have to basically save their bullets on their sideboard end of it to make sure they can handle it. I mean, Aether Gust is already a sideboard card in Scapeshift, so they have ways to deal with it. So I don't think it's going to make a huge impact. I'm happy to see it unbanned because I think it's a good card. But I don't think it's overpowered by any stretch of the imagination, especially not for Standard. I mean, if 3-mana Teferi is floating around and Rampaging Ferocidon's not, I mean, what's your criteria for banning?
I actually do think that that's also a good point, too, is that I think the one deck it doesn't impact, Esper.
But
people might start playing Control again because they're like, how many creatures I got in Esper? You know, you got like one or two, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and then again, in Esper Control, I mean, are they still using the... they use Basilica.
Or Elite Guard Mage.
Yeah. So they're not using the card anymore that counters the spell and then amasses, right?
That's gone? That's not a counter spell. That's a removal spell.
Yeah, removal. That's what I meant.
That would work on the Ferocidon.
Yeah, like Ferocidon, that would be actually pretty bad.
Yeah, because they would deal 4 damage to the Ferocidon, kill it. You wouldn't gain the life because it all happens at once.
They'd only deal 1 damage to the amass. Don't forget, it's creating one creature.
Yeah, but it would kill the Ferocidon 4. In the process.
Oh, it'll kill Ferocidon, yeah.
Yeah, because it deals 4 damage to the Ferocidon, it mills someone for 4, you gain 4 life, and you amass 4.
Yeah.
So, but and nobody's, like, Esper is kind of on a fringe right now as far as control. Esper Hero gets played, but Ferocidon's good against Esper Hero.
Well, the reason I said the Enter the God Eternals was what we were thinking.
Yeah.
The reason I said that, though, is that actually I'm looking here on MTG Goldfish, and it's now the fourth biggest deck. It's coming back.
Yeah, is that Control or Hero?
Esper Control.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I mean, but yeah, in the Dinosaur deck, it's ridiculous because you get that out with the Rotting Regisaur, and shit gets real.
I love Rotting Reggie.
Oh, he's just, you know, he's ridiculous. I mean, especially in these events, which we'll get into. I mean, he's just, he's fun. But, you know, so, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to have some impact. It's 6 weeks. The meta is going to shift anyway. Nobody's playing meta right now because we're this close to a rotation. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes of it. But, Let's go ahead and pivot real quick. There was a GP in Vegas this weekend.
Yes.
And his name is Amaz?
Amaz, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he's Amaz. In any event, he's a guy who, he's a player, he's a pro, and he was playing this weekend. And apparently, and I did reply to him on, it's Amaz, so I think it's Amaz. He was pretty much, you know, he put up on the on Twitter, DQ from GP Vegas. Here's my statement, and he goes and starts telling the story. Basically, what happened was this guy, he's starting to go between tables, I guess, and a judge is standing there, and the judge is like, no, you have to go around. I don't want anybody over on this side of the table. Okay, that's fair, I would think. Amaz, though, because he saw other people doing it, he pretty much ignored the judge. And walked around the judge, accidentally hit him. He says accidentally. I'm not so sure about that. It might have been because I imagine that it's a pretty tight fit. Accidentally bumps into the judge. Judge gets mad. He's like, you didn't have to hit me. You know, blah, blah, blah. And Amaz actually said, and I mean, I'll give him credit for this. He went through it and he basically said, you know, what I said to the guy was, where is it? Once again, I said I'm sorry, but it already happened and I can't take it back. What would you like me to say? That's not exactly apologetic.
No.
Would be the word I would use. That's kind of...
Yeah, so basically what it is, it was a professional level enforcement, and yeah. There's aisles. They don't want players. They don't want anyone other than staff and players who are either in or on their way to or from a match. Nobody else is permitted in the aisles during play. So he was trying to get through that area. The judge told him he can't. He has to go around. And, you know, he said, I'll be real quick and whatever, and still tried to go through. And then went through and
tried to push his way through.
It kind of stinks to me of a don't you know who I am kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't you realize who I am? I can do what I want. I mean, it's like every other situation that's come up the last few months with players doing, well, stupid things. It's hard to pass judgment only hearing really from his side. The judges haven't really spoken too much about what's happened, as far as I can find. But I do know that they're very strict at that level with enforcement. So yeah. If you make contact with a judge and you bump a judge hard enough to move him, then you're gone. And I have no sympathy.
Right. Well, and I mean, he goes into this too. And this is just it. Yes, it's very hard to pass judgment when it's just one side. But I got to tell you, by reading this, his statement, it's actually damning on him.
Yeah, it does not reflect very well on him the way that he explains the situation.
You know, I guess the judge said, stay right here. He went and got another judge. The other judge actually went ahead and issued him a warning for unsportsmanlike conduct. And I guess they were going to leave it. And then he goes on to say, I asked for the judge's name since he wasn't wearing a name tag because I wanted to check later about this incident. However, apparently asking for the name caused the other judge to tell me that that would be escalating the issue. I told him that he wasn't wearing a name tag, so that's why I asked. It honestly felt quite threatening when the other judge considered that as a means for an escalation. I don't think another judge would. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are asshole judges. We've talked about this. There are judges out there with incredible, big fish, small pond. This is my sandbox. Let's be honest here. All right, let's call a spade a spade. I'm a geek. I get to say this, okay? If you're a judge, chances are you weren't exactly the most popular kid in your high school. All right? And I mean, by and far, I'm not saying as a rule. Okay, I'm going to say it as a rule. There are exceptions.
Yeah, you want to steer clear of overgeneralizations.
Yeah, this is a pretty fair. Let's face it, you are judging a trading card game event. Like, I get it, I dig it. I'm one of us. I get it, but I wasn't exactly the most popular kid in high school.
Hmm.
All right, so it stands to reason that some judges are out there who have a very, very false sense of power because, hey, I actually have power for once, and I get to kind of do some adjudicating. And so I don't doubt that there's a-hole judges.
I would definitely interject and say that those types of judges are the vast, vast minority.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. But they are out there.
Yes.
You know, and that's what people were saying in response to Amaz, is that there are a lot of a-hole judges and blah, blah, blah. I would submit that there are a-hole judges if you're an asshole to them. But the way he said this, I asked for his name since he wasn't wearing a name tag, and the judge said that would be escalating. I'm going to give the judge, again, the benefit of the doubt. I have a strange feeling, given how he wrote this, that when he said, what's your name, he didn't say, hey, just so I can follow this up later, you're not wearing a name tag, can I have your name? I am pretty sure it was probably more along the line, what's your name? What is your name? I want to write your name down. What's your badge number?
Yeah, who the hell are you? Yeah. Do you know who I am?
Well, no, it's the biggest thing right now. One of the big things I've been noticing on Facebook is, and maybe this is a result of our culture, and forgive me again for overgeneralizing, but I'm going to go there anyway. What the heck? I'm drinking whiskey. The fact is, I've watched some of these videos with these people who are out there trying to, like, monitor the police. And they take videos of police cars at police stations, and the police come up and go, what the hell are you doing? And you know what? They're 100% within their right to take video of public, you know, stuff like that. And they're standing on a sidewalk. But, you know, the officers will be like, hey, listen, can I have some identification? And these guys, like, it's like giving them Christmas. And they go all self-righteous. And they're like, you don't have a right to ask for my ID. You don't have the right to do this. What's your badge number? You know, I want to write this down. Am I being detained? That's kind of how I interpreted what Amaz was saying there. Was I have a feeling he said it like that. Like, where's your name tag? What's your name? I want to write your name down.
Yeah, so in trying to get more information, he was actually escalating when...
Yeah.
Who knows if that was his intent or not, but that's how it happened.
Yeah, and
but again,
so,
we don't really have the exact details of what happened because we're only hearing Amaz's side.
Right. And I guess he went to play round 15 while they talked with other observers of the incident. And he said these other observers were coming to defend him, I guess. And yet,
we'll see.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because he's like, they're talking with these other things. And after playing that round, I was approached by the head judge and they were asking me about the incident. And I felt a bit emotional. So we talked behind the stage. Then I explained while responding to their questions. Then the head judge DQ'd him.
Yeah.
For aggressive behavior, explaining that physical contact by definition is considered to be aggressive. I was actually kind of baffled by that situation, but I just wanted it out of the problem. So I said, okay, to everything. Yeah, so let me get this straight. When they said, okay, you have to leave now, you said, okay.
Well, here's a quick little aside. You know what this reminded me of?
What's that?
I'm going to go a little farther down the geek rabbit hole here.
Dude, I'm all about the geek rabbit hole. We're on a geek podcast.
Have you watched Star Trek Deep Space Nine?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the episode where they were playing baseball and on the holosuite?
Which one?
The one where Odo was the umpire.
Which one? Go on. I get what you're saying, though. So they played a few times where Odo was the emperor.
There was a situation where Captain Sisko was arguing balls and strikes with Lieutenant Worf, and he's arguing with the umpire, and he taps the umpire on the chest. You know, not to be like, sort of pokes him in the chest a little bit. You know, he says, you can't tell me that ball was outside, blah, 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 pokes him. And Odo throws him out of the game. And he's like, for what? He says, at no time shall a player or anyone in the game make contact with an umpire. The result is immediate disqualification. Right. He quotes the rule and says, you can look it up, but do it in the stands. You're gone.
Actually, but he does it in that Odo voice. You're out of here! Yeah.
Yep. And that's the immediate thing that popped into my head when I was reading this. It's like...
Well, it's Billy Martin. That used to happen to Billy Martin all the time in the Yankees, which I'm going way back.
Yeah. As you touch the judge / ump / ref, you're gone because they have no other way to protect themselves.
And listen, I tweeted this. I actually responded to his tweet this morning, and I've actually gotten, 35 people liked it. I said, basically, I'm going to say this. You caused this. You pushed a judge. You were told to go around, and when you didn't like the answer, you went anyway. Then your what do you want me to say escalated this. If you'd have listened to the judge when you wanted to go through, you'd have been okay.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at this point if the judge was being aggressive / dickish when by saying, oh, you can't come around here. He's just doing his job. He was probably told, your job is to make sure no one goes through these aisles. Do whatever you need to do to make sure that happens. You know,
or
he wasn't pushing.
Even if that wasn't his, you know, it's obviously in his purview. In his, you know, it's part of his job.
Yeah.
You know, and
he can absolutely tell you where to go and when to get there.
Right. So if the judge is telling you that, then I'm sorry, you gotta go.
Yeah, I mean, and if the judge is being, you know, unprofessional about it or something, at that point you can, you know, you still go around, but you take the head judge aside and, hey, listen, I just had this interaction with your judge. Maybe I didn't realize this was the thing, but he was kind of rude to me. I don't want to get him in too much trouble. I want to let you know this is what happened.
Right.
Move on with your day. It's at the end of the day, you're playing a card game. Like you always say, a bad day of Magic is better than a good day at work.
And he did admit, too, that he might have been a little bit salty because, you know, he had lost in round 12 or 13. And it's there. Okay, listen, guys, it's good to care about this game. Okay, and if you're in a big tournament and you're a pro or you're considered semi-pro or whatever, I get it. I do. But at the end of the day, like, you know, we all have lives and jobs and people, and these guys are just, and most of them are volunteer. I mean, I don't know if they get paid at GPs or not.
That whole structure is really a shadow. It's like a big shadow organization. I have no idea how all that works. And with the Judge Academy, it's going to be even better. But anyway.
But I mean, so I get it, okay? And like I said, I'll give Amaz the benefit of the doubt of this. It definitely sounds like maybe the second judge might have had a big old head on his shoulders. Maybe. But even still, that was your opportunity when they brought the other judge over. You could have gone to Good Cop and been able to kind of save this by going at, you know, by the minute you said, can I have your name? All right, well, that's the end of that. You know, like, yeah, of course I have to give you my name because I'm the judge and that's, you should. But it's the context at which you do it.
Yeah, I have a feeling the tone and the body language and all that stuff was probably not what he thinks it was. You know, 20/20 hindsight and all that. End of the day, an authority tells you, you can't go here. Don't go there.
Don't go there.
Why? What part of that is hard to understand?
And I think about if I had done this at to Steve at Kerwin's or something. I mean, yeah, kick me out of your store, you know?
Yeah, and it's rightfully so.
Rightfully so. And
you can rant and rave on the internet all you want. At the end of the day, you're still kicked out of the store.
So, I mean, this guy, and I mean, I had never heard of this guy before this event. I don't think I'll hear about him after. he may be in a few top eights every once in a while or something like that. But at the end of the day, he's not Reed Duke. You know.
No, he's a popular streamer. He's one of the better streamers.
Oh, he's Hearthstone. I heard. Yeah, he's like a Hearthstone player.
I think Hearthstone originally, but I think he's pretty good at Magic apparently, too. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he makes high finishes later on.
He probably isn't going to get in the Rivals League though.
Well, I mean, hey, they have discretionary invites. Maybe he'll be their bad boy for the season.
What, the heel? They're just going to go, they're going to go full on WWE.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to go across the table heels and drop people's elbows on people or something.
So that was that. And, you know, that was the main event this weekend, but there was another event Friday. I didn't go. Again, my son, my oldest, went to my alma mater. We had to take him to college. And so he's ensconced firmly in Oswego, which is kind of great because he does nothing but text us and he's okay. And he's not the most social of the three. Mm-hmm. We were a little concerned that he'd kind of be like, I'm going to sit in my room and YouTube. No. Total opposite. He did a 180. This kid is all over the place. He's got friends, and he said there are girls, which is great on so many levels. I can't say why, but it's just, yes, meet the girl at college. I met my girl at college. So, but, you know, with that in mind, you went to Friday Night Magic, though, didn't you?
I did, yes.
And how'd you do?
I believe I finished in third place, went 3-1 with Bant Scapeshift again.
Ooh.
I'm trying to remember what I lost to. I lost to a really aggressive Gruul deck. turns out that turn two Gruul Spellbreakers are still pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty.
And then,
pretty
you close. Know, he followed up with, what did he follow up with? Sarkhan. It was Sarkhan was in his deck. So he'd make dragon tokens, and he had the Scargan Hellkites. And I believe the first game I mulliganed down to like 5, really couldn't do anything. Second game, Scapeshift did Scapeshift things. And then the third game, I drew poorly. I think if I'd had a few more turns, maybe I could have stabilized, but he had a really good draw. Nothing really I could say about that. There was one match I was playing against, it was like Grixis Control.
Oh, and we talked about that. That guy was there.
Yeah, he was playing Grixis, and, it was, the first game was kind of stalled for a while.
Was it Josh?
It might have been Josh. I'd have to look at my notes. Okay. But... Yeah, end step Scapeshift for 39 zombies. I mean, so Scapeshift Grixis, did Scapeshift things.
He'll probably throw Rampaging Ferocidon.
I could see Rampaging Ferocidon in his deck. He made a couple mistakes, he said afterwards. It was a good match. All the matches were good. I mean, Scapeshift... The thing about the Scapeshift deck is that you look at it on paper, it doesn't look like it does anything, and it really doesn't do anything forever.
Right.
And then it just decides, you know what? I'm tired of this. You die.
Right. It is kind of nice to see how the meta is right now, and it's kind of fun to kind of imagine what it's going to be in 5 weeks. Because, I mean, the top three decks right now You know, Scape Shift, Vampires, maybe. Well, I think Ramp can survive. Esper Control will be there. Mono Red is going to have to change. Dinosaurs is out. Feather might come up.
Feather?
But, I mean, Scape Shift and Vampires, I mean, they are going to get gutted. They are 100% getting gutted come October 2nd.
Well, about Scape Shift. Scape Shift itself is going to rotate out, but the Field of the Dead decks, those will still be around. Because
well, yeah, because they use that
They use Golos. Yeah. They'll use Golos, and there's still plenty of Gates, and there's still plenty of tap lands. It's going to lose, you know, it's going to lose, like, Growth from the Ashes. It's losing, obviously, Scape Shift. It's still got Mini Teferi. It's still got Arboreal Grazer. It's losing Elvish Rejuvenator, so it does lose some pieces, but I would not be shocked at all if that deck was still around and still good after rotation.
It'll go tier 2. Scape Shift makes that deck explosive.
Well, you wouldn't be building it around Scape Shift anymore. You'd be changing how the deck works. So it's going to be a different build.
Yeah, and I mean, we could see what comes in Throne of Eldraine.
It'll probably have more interaction, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, I could see if Throne of Eldraine, they could do something with lands and call it Jack's Beanstalk, but they won't call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see something where, you know, it makes something grow exponentially. Like, it makes a creature that can do reach because it's a Beanstalk.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I was on the design team, that would happen. You know, Vampires is definitely getting gutted. It loses its big game.
You know what I was just thinking?
What's that?
I think the Field of the Dead deck will probably survive because of Yarok.
Maybe.
It's a Penharmonicon.
Yeah, but it's still...
I mean, a little bit of ramp, you have Golos, you get some dirty little mana creatures and whatever, just to slow the initial crawl, and once you start getting the Fields of the Dead out, every land you play, you get a double or triple trigger. Depending on how many of those things you have.
It's still, I think... I just don't think it's going to be tier 1.
You can still do end step circuitous route, so...
Right, but you still... It's still not going to be the same.
No, it's not. It's well, like I said, the build of the deck will be different. It's not going to be the explosive combo deck. It might be more of like a tempo deck.
Yeah, but that explosive combo is what makes it win. Like without that combo, well, we're almost in combat. without that combo, it doesn't win. Like it can hang and it might win some games, but as far as like almost assuredly tier one, you know, you play this deck, if you play it the right way, you don't screw up. Don't get me wrong, the learning curve on that deck is huge, and it is a very very complex deck to learn how to pilot. But if you learn how to pilot that deck, it can win almost automatically if you play it right. That loses it. It will lose that. It's going to need help from Throne of Eldraine. Now, I'm not saying that's not going to happen, but if it was just rotating out and nothing was rotating in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If it was just rotation, then it would be screwed.
Yeah, because I think losing Scape Shift, losing... it's mainly Scape Shift. Losing the check lands is also a big deal.
It does. Well, it only plays two of them.
Does it only play two check lands?
Yeah, it only plays one copy of Sunpetal Grove. It plays one copy of Hinterland Harbor.
Oh, I actually used to. I actually play it with one copy of the something else.
Doesn't play Glacial Fortress.
Yeah, I put in Glacial Fortress.
The one that I'm playing, I don't think it does anymore.
Glacial Fortress is no. That Glacial Fortress is the.
But it only plays three of those lands. I mean, the only lands it plays with more than one copy of are like two forests and the four Field of the Dead, and I think maybe two copies of Breeding Pool or three copies of Breeding Pool,
which isn't going anywhere.
No, and then Hallowed Fountain, which isn't going anywhere. It doesn't lose any of the lands really.
Losing Field of Ruin kind of sucks.
Losing Field of Ruin kind of sucks, but again, it was a one of. You still have Blast Zone.
Blast Zone's really a good card.
You know. It loses, like I said, it loses Rejuvenator. It obviously loses Scape Shift, but 90% of the deck is still there. So, I mean, it loses the namesake, so it has to switch gears for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Yeah. But we should definitely go ahead and get into...
Combat Phase.
Okay, Combat Phase. we want to talk tonight because we just finished off the last of the Planescation events in Arena. Now, we usually do Arena in, you know, in the second main. We usually talk about it there. But we're actually, we want to kind of talk tonight in combat about the special event as a whole. Because, I mean, on one hand, I love it. I love the fact it's free. I love the fact that if you lose, it doesn't count. You know, that you don't have to sit there and grind and go down a ladder, you know, if you lose. Because, I mean, it does happen, especially when you're trying to find the right deck.
Yeah.
However, you know, and I'll start this off. I am not a big fan of the Planescation event. I think the problem I have with the Planescation event this time was twofold. The 3 days to play. It's kind of, that's kind of shitty. I'm sorry, kind of crappy. The fact that, you know, you can only play Sunday to Tuesday. I did dig the 6 wins as opposed to 8. I think it was
10
9.
At one point, or 10 was or 15. It was some 10, crazy number at first, yeah.
Which, I mean, so, we're making it 7 days, but now we've cut down 3 days or 4 days. But it's still, I dug that. I did not like Landfall this week. I thought this was kind of crappy event. Especially after last week. Like, last week was hugely awesome. Like, hey, I'm playing standard without any of the tier one meta except, you know,
Scape Shift.
Dinosaurs. But
hey, dinosaurs, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, that was really, you know, but all I saw yesterday in that event, I mean, I didn't see a lot of Scape Shift because I'm not sure why. I do think that they were doing some, when they put you together. Matchmaking.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were trying to matchmake decks that were not, you know, that were good to each other. I found myself, I danced around for a little while until I landed at the deck I was playing. I started off with Vampires, and I ended up playing nothing but Mono Red.
Mm-hmm.
And then I swapped over to Mono Red, and I ended up playing nothing but Scape Shift. And not being able to hang. And then I went over to, you know, I went to Dinosaurs, and I ended up playing a mono white deck of all things a bunch of times. Like, it was constantly like, if I changed the style of my deck, I ended up playing a different deck that was designed to kill me. So, you know, I mean, and then I did the mono red Cavalcade.
Hmm.
And that deck, I won my first event mainly because somebody forfeited. I must have played 7 or 8 events with different decks, losing every single time. And I mean, I'm not getting enough mana, or I'm not getting this, or they're getting nut draws, or they're just a better deck against my deck. And so obviously they changed the matchmaking a little bit, I think. But, you know, when I was playing Cavalcade, I don't think they accounted for Cavalcade. And so I ended up playing, like, all sorts of crazy decks. You know, it went across the board. I mean, I'm playing white decks, and I'm just rolling them. I'm playing a dino deck, and I'm rolling it. And, you know, God, I love Chandra Spitfire. That card is just broken. But I guess the point I'm making is that I would prefer that they go back to the 7 days, but not have, you know, and better events. Yeah, Pauper. Keep Pauper. Keep Singleton. Sure, definitely keep this standard without, you know, with a reserve list. But I think they need something else. I didn't like the one event they did the first time either, which was the, you know, it's like you were bringing in a creature every turn or something. And
I think wasn't it Treasures yeah. every turn?
Treasures was the first one of this one. That wasn't horrible. I'm talking the first one in War of the Spark where it was like, you know, Momir.
Yeah, with the Planeswalkers in the decks.
Yeah,
that one sucked.
Yeah, it was awful.
I agree with you on that one.
I liked that the first one had precons this time.
Yes, that was fun.
I dug that. I'm like, okay, you're taking the Constructed out of it. I'm down with that. But what about you? What do you think?
I think I liked this event. I ended up playing Scape Shift when I was playing this event. I actually played a lot of the decks that had the Cavalcade of Calamity. And I think I played the I played against the Calamity deck maybe four times. I think I won three of them.
Really? I must have been playing bad.
Maybe I split it 2-2. I know there was one where they went turn one Scorchbitter, turn two Scorchbitter, and each land they got a creature, which gave them another creature. Then they went turn three Cavalcade, Firebrand, dead.
Yeah, that's what happened to me a bunch of times.
I think
have a lot more one drops though.
Yeah, the one. And there was another game where it was going that way, and I was like, oh well, it'd be a shame if I played this Blast Zone, and immediately popped it and killed all your guys. I agree with you that the 3-day thing is a little bit too short for me. I found myself kind of scrambling before we went on the air tonight to finish.
Yeah.
Because granted, if you win your 6 matches, you could be done in an hour. If you start losing matches, it could take a while. And 3 days I'm sure it was enough time for almost everybody, but I'm thinking for some people that have limited schedules, it's like, well, crap, I only have Saturday evening that I can play. I don't have that much time. So I feel like it should be something where it's open for a week. Once you get your 6 wins, you can't enter it anymore, but it's still there.
Right.
It's still there for people who maybe can't play Sunday through Tuesday, and they still want to get their unhinged lands. Give them an opportunity to still play.
I'm kind of okay with keeping it open, though, because like I said, there's a little bit of karmic, fun for me is that I will go in once I've won.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just concede.
No, that's true, yeah.
I like being able to do that. I do, because that's the thing. It's like Arena kinda rewards constructed. It really does. Mm. Yes, it has draft, and yes, it has sealed. But again, the draft is not a real draft because you're not drafting against people that know what they're doing.
Right.
It's and sealed is probably the only one that's as close to card as constructed. But these events seem to reward constructed a lot. I would like to see if they're going to do this again, and I'm sure they will, and they should. Don't get me wrong. Free events should happen. They have to happen. But do something a little better than maybe lands. It would be, you have 1,000,000,000,000 styles, all right? And I know you're trying to get people to buy them so that they can bling out their deck.
Hmm.
But no. You know what? I'm not going to buy styles. I'm not. If you give them to me as part of my mastery, sure. Great. And they go in. If I get these full screen lands, all of my lands now are full.
Yep.
Good. Here's the thing, though. Did you ever notice that when you play, it's in Arena, I don't know if they changed it, but it used to be you would have in your a basic land with, half the screen. Yet you put it on the field and it would be full screen red, full screen green. Like they took the half out.
Right.
I don't know if they do it now, if that changed or not.
They still do. So basically the biggest difference is that when you hover over the card, now it shows the full card. So mm-hmm. you can see the full art. But I think otherwise it's like it always was.
And so the full unhinged lands are really just for me to look at.
Kind of.
Again. Yeah. I do it because it's an event. It's free. And to tell you the truth, I do it because I'd really like to get to 100 on the mastery tree. And it's the best way to get that. But I get 15 wins on Sunday. I do play for a couple hours on Sunday and I get my 15 wins and I'm done. All right, good.
Yeah, maybe play a little bit during the week just to get some extra gold.
Yeah. I do my quests. I'll log in and quest, maybe an hour or two every 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit, I'm not a big fan of how they did it this time. And it does scream like a cash grab, because the only difference that I can see between War of the Spark and this core set 2020 is the mastery tree. And so you're giving XP.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't play that 3 days, they're out 500 XP or 100 or 1,000. I think you get 1,000. For that first win.
The first win in the event's 1,000 XP.
Yeah. So.
Which is basically a level.
Yeah, that seems kind of shitty. They're like, oh, no. Oh, Sunday to Tuesday. Because that's when most of our players play. Bullcrap. Bull crap. Most of your players probably play Friday night because maybe they couldn't get to FNM, so hey, I'll fire up Arena.
Yeah. I do think overall that these five events were a success. I do overall like the idea. Like, the guild, the pre-con guild thing was awesome. The singleton was awesome, like you said. The
Pauper was fun.
Pauper was fun. The augmented standard with the band list was good.
Was, you know, amazing.
I mean, granted, I played Jund Dinosaurs and destroyed the competition, but, you know, whatever. And this one, you kind of I mean, you could play any deck, but you really couldn't play any deck because not every deck works well with lots of lands coming into play because you want to play a lot of lands, and it's either Cavalcade that plays a bunch of dorks or it's Scapeshift that ramps into so many lands that you just get all those triggers.
Stompy. Stompy was having a blast. That's what I faced a lot, too, when I had Vampire.
I played against one Stompy deck, and he got a bunch of dudes out, but I'm like, I can block you all day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then he gets Galta.
They're dead at that point.
Yeah, but it was definitely, you know, worthwhile.
Yeah, it was fun.
I don't like... I think this event was not as good as the War of the Spark event. I didn't like War of the Spark having to grind for 12 or 10 or whatever the hell it was. That was crazy.
That was a lot of wins.
I do like the 8 wins. I'd like to see something other than land because, first of all, they have it's pretty crappy that you have to go back into each deck now and change your land. Like, you can't just say, I want all my lands to be the full screen. If I get a full screen land, change all my lands. It doesn't work that way. I have to go into each deck and then take out the 8 planes and put in 9, 8 of the full screen.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a personal preference thing. So, I mean, people that are winning those lands maybe don't want to play those lands. They just want to have them. So, you know, automatically changing it, they would have to do the same thing. Go
Why
back in and change
it manually.
Have them?
This isn't a paper collection. This is Arena.
Yeah. There's no reason to play the event past the first win if all you're after is XP.
True. I think some people are just after it to do something, too. Like, to
and people
like,
are still
yeah.
collectors, even online. People are collectors. They want to get complete sets of everything.
Sure. I get that. So, I mean, I guess for combat, I'm not sure that we had one, but, I mean, that was kind of it. But, I mean,
combat... It was more combat before combat.
Yeah. Combat's going to go into, you know, we're going to actually just start talking.
Main phase.
So, it's kind of like main phase 2 is kind of dealing with this a little bit. In fact, I think we answered all those questions. So, you know, did we enjoy these events? What other types of events would you want to see in the future?
I want them to... If they start releasing old sets on Arena...
That'd be nice.
I'd love to have, like... Even if it's like a Phantom event, like a Phantom Cube or something... I'd love for them to do like a free Cube event where like you can draft the old sets... Or even like a chaos draft. You know, some of the stuff they do on Magic Online, they should be able to do on Arena. I would love to do Arena sets only chaos draft where you get 3 random packs of random sets. Every player in the pod, you know, bots included, gets a random pack. No two packs are alike. Obviously, they need to get to 24 sets before they can do that. But it was just, you know, something like that where they really shake things up and make you have to think other than saying, well, let me just go on to... Aetherhub.com, see what deck is good in this format, and play that deck.
Yeah, I get that.
More limited events besides just, you know, draft and sealed. Just, you know, just to shake things up.
Maybe do... Well, they haven't done a draft or sealed for any of these yet, have they?
Mm-mm.
That would be something.
No, because, you know, you have to pay the gems or the coins to do it. Give them, like, one free event. Maybe even make it Phantom where you don't
keep
the cards.
Yeah, that's what you do. You make it Phantom. You say this is a Phantom event. You don't keep the cards.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, you dig into the code that you already know you have for Shadows Over Innistrad and do a sealed event on that. Do a sealed event on Kaladesh.
Well, I think they would just do... They could do a sealed event off of this.
They could.
Say it's free. It's Phantom. You know... And that could entice people to actually draft more and do... I agree with that. Because that might entice somebody to start drafting and sealed. Mm-hmm. You know, and which is going to make them spend gold or coins or gems or whatever the frack they are this week. Yeah, that would be actually the smarter way to go.
Or even, you know what? Do it for like 50 gold is the entry. Do Pack Wars. You do one, you have one booster pack, you build a deck, you go.
Hell, do a league.
Yeah. You know, there's, you sign up there's for so a league, much.
You get four packs, you know, to build, or six packs to build, and then once every week you get a new pack.
And this program's already proven that it's versatile enough to handle all these special crazy rules. So I do love the fact that they keep changing things up and trying all these new things. They're obviously testing the client to see what it can handle.
Right.
Sky's the limit. They can do whatever the hell they want, and I know that they've got some other fun stuff planned. They have to.
They do. I'm sure of that. So that was our second main, because we talked already about that. I don't disagree. I'd like to see them do some different things with that. Like I said, I love the thought of them doing Sealed or Draft, mm-hmm. like for free, or, you know, at a very reduced cost.
Yeah.
And Phantom. And sure, bring in Cali. Bring in... I don't think they have Shadows over Erin Strahd. I think they have Cali... I think they only went as far as the old meta, which was Kaladesh.
The original
Kaladesh,
Alpha.
Aether Revolt, and...
The Alpha coding had Shadows over Erin Strahd.
Did it really?
Yeah, sure. they went that far back, because that was some of the speculation, was that the new format was going to go all the way back to Magic Origins, and that's why they said that, because the coding for Arena was already back to Shadows over Innistrad. It wouldn't take that much more work to add Origins and those other sets that were
right,
before.
Right, because I was beta. I did have the beta.
This was the Alpha build, from what I recall. I guess there were screenshots of people playing with Innistrad cards and, like, you know, Eldritch Moon cards.
That would be fun.
A little Emrakul up in here.
All right. So with that, though, we do have a couple of emails. We already actually addressed the one from John. He asked about the Faithless Looting Ban. So yep. I feel like we kind of answered that.
Yep.
Which was Ask Will, by the way. That was awesome. Oh, and by the way, John, congratulations. He has a new baby, so he's mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to handle a small human without breaking it, he says. So.
Congratulations on the baby. Rip sleep.
Yeah, rip sleep, rip, you know, here's what you do. How do you handle a small human without breaking it? You don't worry about it. If you break it, you just go get another one.
Yeah, just keep the receipt.
Yeah, just keep the receipt. They'll take it back. But it's you know what? Our medical coverage nowadays is run by corporations. I'm sure you can get a refund.
Grow a new one.
Yeah, so anyway, we do have Steve. Steve did write back from Scotland. And he did say, hey, guys. Should I do the Scottish accent? I feel like I should do the Scottish accent.
No, don't.
Ugh. Steve in Scotland again. I've heard the phrase mana base. No, sorry. I've heard the phrase mana base a few times in my first few weeks with the game. Could you tell me a little bit about this and its importance when deck building? So far, I've been playing with my son, a friend, and his son using some recent Planeswalker decks. Been a lot of fun. Also put in some time with Arena. Hit gold tier 1 on Friday, so happy with my progress.
Not bad.
Been using a Chandra Planeswalker deck and an Orzhov Life Gain deck. Loving the show and all caught up on episodes now. Thumbs up emoji, followed by poop emoji. I'm kidding. He didn't put poop emoji. Take care, Steve. So, Steve, in answer to your question, I'll give you the definition of mana base, and then I'll let Aramis, because that's what he does best, is tell you, like, its importance. Mana base is really, when you hear the word mana base, obviously you know by now that every deck has colors in it, and mana is color coordinated with, you know, different types of land types. So a mana base is nothing more than just a way to kind of refer to that in a plural sense, as opposed to saying manas. Would be my best bet, right? And
kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just basically, the mana base means, like, mana in your deck used to make the deck run. So, and it doesn't refer to just colored lands. Like, in the case of Scape Shift, part of Aramis's mana base is the Field of the Dead. And, right, that's what it's called?
Yeah, Field of the Dead.
Yeah, see, I'm doing better.
Yay!
So, but Aramis can talk a little bit more about its importance with deck building.
Well, I mean, a mana base, you're right. It's the lands in the deck that make the deck function. And it's also any mana-producing creatures or spells or artifacts, things of that nature. Basically, it's the lands you play, how many lands you play in relation to your deck, what colors they can produce, and whether or not it allows you to cast your spells on time, as they say. So, like, if you had a spell that was triple green, you want a mana base or a mixture of lands that would allow you to play that spell on turn three reliably more than, you know, 75-80% of the time.
Right.
The best answer I can give you is actually from someone else. You want to go onto Channel Fireball, and I believe you'd have to look up, I think it's Frank Karsten. He has an article with a link to a spreadsheet that basically tells you, all right, what does this card cost? How many colored mana symbols are on it? What turn do you want to play it on? Here's how many lands that produce this color that you would need in your deck. Now, there's obviously going to be overlap, because if you're playing, say, Orzhov and it's white-black, and you want to play certain, like a double black spell or a double white spell on this turn, it might say, okay, you need 19 white sources and 18 black sources. Well, that's 37 sources. You don't want 37 lands in your deck. So what that's going to mean is that you're going to need stuff that can produce both. So right. You take those, you know, you got your shock lands, you got your check lands. There's eight sources right there. They both produce it. So there's eight lands. You add in the other lands right there, 10 swamps, 9 plains. There's 37 white. There's 37 sources altogether of white and black.
Yep. And he's not wrong there. And you should have 23 lands, not 37.
Well, 24. Depends on the speed of your deck, and you know what the deck does. Like the Scapeshift deck runs 29 lands because it needs all 29 lands.
Yep.
Typical control decks might run 25, 26. Aggro can run as few as 20 or 18, depending on, you know, colors and everything else. Mono blue, mono red run about 18 lands sometimes.
Right. Well, I tend to run 20 in my red. I'd need it.
Yeah. But yes. It's, you know, because you're playing basic mountains. You don't have to worry about saying, okay, yep, will this Clifftop Retreat enter tapped on turn three when, yes, I really, really need it untapped?
Right. So, I mean, it's that you have to think about. The mana base is really just the way we refer to what fuels the deck. Is really the best way. In regards to what you were sharing there about how you're playing with your kids, let me make a recommendation to you. I don't know if they have Amazon Scotland or if you just have to use ours, but you want to look for something called Magic the Gathering Magic Game Night.
Yes.
It's about $40, all right? But it comes with 5 pre-constructed decks, monocolored. So you don't have to deal with construction, and they're all pretty powerfully good. And they're designed to play against each other. I have it for my kids. Actually, Wendy wants to learn to play, so that's what I'm going to bring out. So I highly recommend that. It's really kind of a great set. And there are cards in it. Like, once you're done, like, learning or you don't want to do it, there are cards in it you could actually take and put in other decks.
Yeah.
So, like, Gutter Snipe was in there for a while and other stuff. So I would definitely highly recommend that. Like I said, I'm just on Amazon right now. And it's $39.93.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in like a Pentagon box. It's worthwhile. It really is. It even comes with counters in it.
And something else too. If you're willing to put down a little bit more money, the Tulare Community College actually talked about this, and it was a really good idea. It might be harder to find now that it's been out for a while, but if you were somehow able to get one of each of the guild pre-constructed decks. They actually all, you can make yourself, it's called a battle box.
Yep.
So you get a bunch of the different, all 10 of those pre-constructed decks, you keep them together, you don't change anything, and every night, or whenever you play, roll a 10-sided dice, you pick, yeah, that deck, that's the deck you're playing.
And well, I do the same thing with Commander. Oh, I didn't even tell you this, I did buy 2 Commander packs.
Decks. I got one.
Which one did you get?
The Sultai? Sultai, yeah, the Sultai one, the Morph
the
deck.
The Populate. Oh, you bought the Morph deck.
I bought the Morph deck.
I have the Populate deck, and I have the Jeskai deck.
Well, we will have to play at some point,
oh,
sir.
I think we should, yes. I mean, I really like the Populate deck. The Morph deck looked fun, too, but I thought Populate is going to be just... Some of the stuff in there just looks ridiculous. And then the Jeskai deck really looked kind of fun, too. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the other deck is. I think it's...
Madness. It's Rakdos Magnus.
Yeah. So... Basically, a piss me off deck.
It's actually really good. You should watch the Game Nights episode where they play all 4.
Yeah. So I will do that. So with that, I guess we should, you know, thank. By the way, Steve, thanks for writing in. Everybody else can write into us as well. We'll go over that here during end step. But I definitely want to encourage you all to keep doing that. So it's been really kind of great. And we did play, I forget what his name was from last week. Yeah, let me pull up my email here. Jamie, we did play your deck last week on stream, so you might be able to see the video. So we did that last week after we got done recording. We Hemet, Aramis and I hopped in. We saw some, you know, some holes in it and stuff. I hope that was good enough for you. So let's go ahead though and get into. All right, as we're picking up our boxes, putting the cards in them, getting everything together, both Aramis and I want to remind you that we stream Arena on the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Planeswalkers Podcast there, and you can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73.
You can also follow me on Twitch at RMEC, WRX. I did stream a couple weeks ago, haven't streamed since then, but I am, again, planning on streaming somewhat more regularly once September rolls around, once the school year starts. But if Twitter is more your speed, you can also find our show at PlanesTalkerPod on Twitter.
And you can actually also follow me on Twitter. My personal Twitter is at WR Benson.
Aren't you special?
What's that?
Aren't you special?
I am very special. Well, you know, you could have one too. It's not like it's an exclusive club anymore. Although when I did it, I think it was. No, it was Gmail. That's how I got my W Benson. I was part of the exclusive club on Gmail. So everybody else gets like weird, wacky Gmail addresses. I have my first initial last name because that's how I roll. I couldn't get Will. I tried. but my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. If you've watched this tonight, you've already found us. If you haven't watched this tonight, well, hopefully you find us and watch it then. You just look up Planeswalkers Podcast and like and follow our page.
Finally, you can send us emails and even ask for advice like we had today. Hopefully, Steve, I helped you out with your question. It's in our Ask Aramis section like we just did.
Or ask Will.
Or ask Will.
Ask Will, dude. Like,
yeah. Ask one of us.
Yeah, ask the non-experts.
Yes. And we will give you completely unbiased and unuseful advice.
Actually do not subscribe to that. I will give you 100% bias and hopefully useful, but still fracking biased advice.
Yeah, one of us is lying. Anyway, I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. So hopefully, again, like I said, I was able to help out with your question tonight. And anybody who wants to write in, hopefully we can help you with yours. And if you are interested in emailing us, even just to drop us a line to see how we're, tell us how we're doing, the address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And hey, if while you're thinking about it, while you're out there looking at Planeswalkers Podcast and sending us an email, we'd love it if you, like, wherever you listen to this show, whether it be iTunes, Google, Stitcher, hopefully one day iHeartRadio, Spotify, I think we're on like a whole bunch of stuff, even Anchor, leave us a review on that system. Let us know you did it as well, because, I mean, I do check the iTunes because I have an iPhone. But, you know, if you left us a Google review or something, we'd love to read it on the show. So just drop us a line there and say, hey, this is what I left you. It does help the show. It helps expose it. But for all of that, after saying that, we're going to go ahead and back ourselves out of here. We went over again a little bit tonight, but that's okay. For Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson thanking you all for listening to our show. We will be back next Monday night recording at 7:30. We really appreciate all of our listeners. We thank you very much, and we want to remind you to keep some of your land untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care.